I apologize for being so late, but it's just one of them things. Devil. Lord, we just come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for these fine people here that helped me out. For David, for helping me. Bless him, Lord. Bless everybody. And thank you for doing that, Lord. Greg's coming in. Tracy again. Lord, I just praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for being our God, leading us, directing us, guiding us in every way possible, Lord. We praise you, Father, for doing that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to guide us tonight. You're going to speak us through us, Lord, the things that you'd have us to speak about. And Father, we want the Holy Spirit to lead us tonight in what you want to talk about. And we praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in us, through us, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Y'all, this is a little bitty screen. I'm used to a 21 inch, and now I've got this little bitty laptop, so that's where I'm at. I'm not limited. I can see well. I don't have that problem. I can't see where everybody is, though. No, I can see. Okay. Prayer request. Anybody got a prayer request? By the way, I'm in Arkansas today, tonight. Go ahead, Will. Go ahead, Will.
Evening, everyone. Even Michael, sorry, my sister asked me to pray for her. Her name is Maya. Father, I just lift up my sister to you. She recently got born again, and she started praying in tongues a few weeks ago. She was baptized a year ago, so I just it's just the basic struggles of a of a born again Christian, I guess.
Amen.
Lord, I just lift up my sister to you, and I ask you to protect her and to help her to grow mightily and speedily, Lord, that she will not miss it, and that she won't miss her salvation, and that she will keep on growing and growing, Lord, and that she'll be over-prepared for the times that are coming. And thank you that you are working with her and keeping her safe, and that you've done such a mighty work in her, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for this new creation, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let the mighty Holy Spirit work in her in a strong, mighty way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Well, thank you. I have a couple folks I'd like to pray for, especially somebody who's been helping me with electronic product that's been giving trouble, and his wife is going from has just moved to a different hospital. She's going downhill very quickly, because of having to. He only came into work for a short time. I guess he just helped me and maybe a few other people, and then went back to the hospital. So, and trying to remember his name, but I think it's Tom. Anyway, Lord, I just want to lift up Tom and his wife to you. I don't know anything about whether they believe in you or not, but I, the situation and all the turmoil that Tom's going through because of his wife. Pray that you will send somebody to help them. I pray for deep repentance for both of them, if that's what they need, and that they'll come to learn the gospel. And we know all things come from you, Lord. I just pray you that you have some reason. There's some reason I'm in contact with him at this time, and I just pray, Lord, that these folks will become strong people in your kingdom. Michael, I don't really know whether to come against the spirit of infirmity or any of those things, because I'm not sure where they're at with the Lord, or if they even are with the Lord at all. So, Lord, I just pray you just deal with the situation, and I just come against what's going on right there, and I thank you, Lord, that you can, and you do use situations to advance your kingdom. I just pray you get glory out of this. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Here's what I do, Malcolm. I break the power of Satan over, and I ask the Lord to grant repentance, and after he does that, and after they repent, just to heal them.
Right.
At the same time. Thank you, Father, for doing that.
Do you mind praying that?
No, I don't mind praying it at all. What's her name?
Tom. And I don't know his wife's name. I didn't want to be too...
Okay.
Just the fact that he shared as much as he did on a professional call, I didn't want to press for his wife's name.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, well, Lord,
it's a recorded call. And
yeah, we lift up this lady to you. Lord, you know who we're talking about. And in the name of Jesus right now, we break the power of Satan over her. And we thank you, Father. We ask and we pray, Father, that you will grant repentance to her. And Lord, we pray that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody in front of her that she would listen to, that would bring the gospel to her, and then would lay hands on her and heal her in the name of Jesus. Father, you said we could pray that. I prayed it, and I believe it's happening right now in Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen.
And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe.
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Then another person I would like to pray for is somebody I've met in amateur radio circles. It seems like a very unusual contact. Well, I just lift up this gentleman to you. I know he's been involved in different denominations. I just pray, Lord, that you will. I get the feeling he's not baptized in the Holy Spirit and doesn't understand some things. And I just pray, Lord, that you will guide my correspondence with him and I just pray for good things for this man and his wife. Also, he's concerned about cancer to be tested at the end of the month, doing a biopsy. I just pray, Lord, that you will just grant him repentance, Lord. Grant him to seek your face with all of his heart. And Lord, and allow him to have the rest, the Sabbath rest, of resting in you, trusting in you for his complete salvation and healing, all those kinds of things. And I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. We believe, Lord. We just believe. And we know we have an open heaven, and we know that these prayers are being answered. Amen. By the way, Saturday night, we prayed for my daughter. And today, we got the good report that the kidneys are all the way up to 80% already. So that's a good thing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And they were going to try to let her go. I don't know if they did or not. I haven't heard. So I probably think they'll probably keep her till tomorrow. But anyway, that's okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. You are such an awesome God. And I thank you, Lord, that during that time while she was in there, that you came to her. I believe it, Lord, and I trust you to supernaturally tell her that you love her. and that you're doing the things that we prayed about, and I praise you for it, all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Denny.
I'd like to pray for my sister's husband's son-in-law. I guess people with their son-in-law, but from his first marriage. He has mm-hmm. cancer, and or a possibility of, I think it's a, they're mm-hmm. suspecting it, and so he's having some tests. So she asks us to pray. This is Joy's husband's son-in-law, and mm-hmm. so I think so we've met her. So I said we pray. So thank you, God. Lord, we just pray and I read together, Lord, for our son-in-law, God. We just command this disease to not be in his body, and we just bind it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for touching him and healing him, Lord, and revealing yourself to him through all this, Lord. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers and you answer, and we receive what we ask for. So we thank mm-hmm. you, God, for this, for good mm-hmm. reports, God, negative reports, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Is he a Christian, Libby?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Lord, we ask that you grant repentance to him and draw him in. We break the power of Satan off of him right now that's got him blinded to the gospel. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to draw him in. We just believe and we declare that he's coming in. He's into the kingdom. And, Father, we thank you for your healing power upon him right now. We command that spirit of cancer off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that he's or she's going to know that it's you and it's nobody else. And she's going to come in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
And while we're on it, I want to pray for our daughter, our oldest daughter, Kim. And she has, she's a believer, but is away from, we really sense, we were up there visiting in Illinois, and we really sense that the Lord's getting her attention through this. So, but anyway, her kidney, she has an infection in the kidney, and it's been a couple weeks now, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, a few weeks.
Yeah, but anyway, there's still some there.
Should have been gone by now.
Should have been gone, but so we're just seeing, and maybe the Lord's letting it linger to get her attention fully. So, Father, we pray for Kim right now, Lord. We pray, first and foremost, just she would be restored to you 100%, Lord, that her heart would be turned to you, and there would be no more setting her mind on the things of the world, but that she would set her affection on things above, and she knows to do that, and she knows how to do it, and so we just pray that you would use this in her life for this time right now. So we thank you for that, God. And Lord, do heal her kidney. Take a week, command this infection away from her. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God. Thank you for the things you use, God, to get our attention, our loved ones, and we just thank you. We pray for David, her husband, that he would be restored to a walk with you and a faith in you and their children. We just lift that family up to you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. We just believe it too. In Jesus' name. Got a half a dozen text messages from y'all. That's all right. I'll look at them later. Praise God. Anybody else with a prayer? Okay, go ahead, Will.
Sorry for coming on again. I was caught a bit off guard, so I didn't share the whole. My sister and my other sister and my other sister's husband are all fasting for Maya's family and her husband. I heard about it today. I was very pleased that they are doing such a major warfare to get Maya's family into the husband's family into the kingdom. And Maya said the fast was very intense because she's breastfeeding at the moment, and she said she nearly passed out a few times. Then my other sister said, sure, it's such an intense, fast to fast for them. There was so much retaliation from the enemy that my other sister decided to keep on fasting for them. Maya's husband's mom went to the doctor, and then the doctor said her heart is in such a bad condition that she's got three options. So he gave her three operations. He sent her to TEF for tests, and he said she's got three operations done. There's no choice. It looks very bad for her. But then they prayed for her, and then her heart was healed, or there was nothing wrong. By the time she did the test, everything was fine. So it was a major victory. So Maya's pushing there, and she's fighting. I must say, she's putting on a good fight, and the Lord is really working there. With the coronavirus, Maya's mother-in-law and father-in-law ended up not being able to work. So the Lord is really working there. I just want to lift up her in-laws, all her family. I don't want to go into all the details, but I just pray that the Lord will give Maya and the Lord will give a breakthrough, and that a quick work will be done there, and that all of them will come into the kingdom. I prayed for. I remember before Maya got married, I asked the Lord if I can speak to her about her husband that is. Her husband's name is Conrad. If I can speak to her about Conrad and tell her my opinion, because normally she'd always ask me about the people she'd date or the people she'd married, but then I was sort of a Joseph in the well back then, and it hurt me that she didn't want to ask my opinion. But I went to the Lord and said, sure, could I go and speak to her about my thoughts about Conrad I didn't get a yes, but I opened up my diary, and it's sort of his birthday is on the 23rd of November, and I opened up my diary and on my daily devotion, I put my finger down, and it was on his birthday, and there was a big the heading of the day was his dear son. So and since then, the Lord is, so I didn't feel that led to go and speak to her. I just felt like I must trust the Lord that he will go work in him. And since that day, it's really been impressive to see the work that's been going on in Conrad's life. So I just pray that he will come to repentance. Father, I just lift up everyone there. And I just lift up my family that we will win this war, Lord, in your name, that we will see a mighty, mighty salvation in the lives of our family. Lord, thank you that my family is fighting so hard for your kingdom, and that it's so nice to see that you did an awesome work in their lives, that they're fasting for other people, Lord. It's so amazing to see that. I don't even think I really fasted for anyone except myself. So I just want to thank you, Lord, for that. It's amazing to see that. My sister, I did ask me to ask a quick question. I asked her to join our fellowship, and then she said it's very difficult with a baby, but she'll listen to the recording. And then she asked me to ask a question tonight quickly. Well, I know it's prayer time, but I just want to put it in there because it's a very short question. They're doing their testament or will or something, and there's a very big argument on, there's sort of a disagreement on where the baby must go if anything happens to them. I sort of said to Maya, by the looks of things, I think we'll be fine. But I don't know if it's, yeah, wills and testaments and stuff like that. I've never done one since I don't have any kids. I don't feel compelled to do that. But I'm just asking for her sake, because she will listen to the recording tomorrow morning, and then there's a big disagreement on where the baby should go, to his family or her family, and if anything happens to them. And she's got her reasons why the baby shouldn't go to his family. And I said, if, and then there's just, there's a few good reasons why she feels it's not a good place for the baby to go to his family. And she's wondering if she should submit and do what he wants her to do, or if she can really put her foot down in this case and say, no, I cannot submit for this and this reason. I'm not really know a lot about about wills and testaments under Christian law, if I can put it like that.
Michael, you're muted.
I'm sorry. Will, I'm having trouble understanding the question. Can you just put it in a couple of sentences, what the question is about the baby? Shut up. Not you, Will. Shut up. Put that in.
I'm just asking the question for her sake. Hopefully it does make an impression on her to join our fellowship, because she's staying in Kruger National Park, and there's not a lot of fellowship around. So it will be very good for her to join our fellowship. Hopefully she does. But she asked me to ask this question, and they're doing their will and testament. There's disagreements where the baby should go to his family or to her family, but she's got some very valid reasons why she doesn't want to send the baby, if anything happens to them, to his family. Should she submit, or should she put her foot down in this regard?
Well, what are you saying, that he wants to take the baby to his church? Is that what you're saying?
No, like if anything happens to them, if they die, where the child should go, you know, like a will and testament. Like, is it a testament in English? Last will and testament.
Oh, last will and testament. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You mean if one of them dies, where does the baby go?
Yeah, if both of them die, where does the baby go? And if she must submit, if she doesn't agree.
Tell her, is she going to die?
Yeah, that's a funny thing. I didn't get too involved in her. I'm not one for will and testaments. I just said it looks good for our family. I guess we're going to make it through the tribulation. Okay. But I just I don't want to be too pushy.
Lord, here's what I'm. If they're Christians, they don't have to worry about that, because they have God's promises to stand on. And if they have God's promises to stand on, the baby's going to be fine. They're going to be fine. You understand?
Mm.
And that would be my answer to her. Now, if he insists on a last will and testament, tell him he can make it out if he wants to, but she's not going to have anything to do with it, because she's not going to die. She's going to go to the end. You know, somebody else got something better. Go ahead. Yeah, Pat. Wait a minute. Missy had hers up first. I'll get right back to you.
Yeah. I was thinking a lot of the same of what Michael was saying, but it's, you know, maybe I'll say it maybe a little bit different that it can understand it better, whatever. basically, you know, like you said, from what you're telling me, she's a Christian. Is her husband a Christian, Will?
I think he still needs the encounter.
Okay. But even whether he is or he isn't, she's standing, and if she believes the promises of God, you know, and all, she's going to, you know, I'm sure she wants to live long and be there to raise her baby as long as the Lord tarries. And just to believe that nothing's going to happen to her or her husband. I'm sure she's believing for her husband to be saved. So, and even though he's not saved, you know, according to the word, you know, that wives are to submit to their husbands, and she need not have any fear in that, because the Lord will honor her submission to her husband. And, you know, if she doesn't feel comfortable with the baby, if that's what he decides to, it's just a will and testament. It doesn't mean that it's going to that it's going to come to that. Just believe that, you know, everything's fine. Everybody's going to be alive, and just pray and ask that the Lord change his mind eventually, or, you know, if she even wants to pray that, but just basically just believe in faith that both of them are going to be, you know, live to the child.
Here's the thing about that. If she believes that she's going to be there to raise that child, then she doesn't, you know, she doesn't have to do anything. Just tell her husband, if he wants to make the last will and testament, that's fine. She's not signing anything that's going to give over that baby to anything but Jesus.
Right.
Now, somebody else got something else? Go ahead. Patrick?
Sorry, yeah. Michael, I was thinking exactly the same thing you were. I was looking for that verse where Jesus, I think it was, he was praying to the Father, and he was saying something like, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the earth. He was also saying something like, I have accomplished what you have called me to do. I'm obviously paraphrasing this. And it has something to do with glorifying him with the glory he had before. But I wish I could find the verse, but basically what the concept was.
I know what you're talking about, Pat. Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus knew when he was going. He knew. God showed him, and I believe God shows us all, when we are leaving, when it's time to go, when we have completed our work. And when we will not go before our work is done. So I'm taking it in the kind of the same concept that you were thinking of, that when you don't really need to worry about, you know, where your kids are going to go, this and that and whatever, when God gets you to that point, and if he's taking you out, he's going to make sure that you know how to prepare your children and make that decision at that time, etc. My question to Will was, what's the hurry? That is this something that needs to be decided now or something? It's kind of the thought that came to me. So,
well, she just brought it up today. I guess it's normal formality. I think people consider it to be a formality. I must now, I've got responsibility, I must now do this, you know.
But what she needs to do is just quote the Bible, you know, quote the Word of God and tell her husband, look, the Lord has told me through the Word of God that when I'm going to be able to raise this child because of my prayers, you're going to be with me. We're not going to have to worry about this last will and testimony business. And, you know, that's just bring the word to him. If he's got any kind of Bible at all in him, he'll understand, maybe. I don't know, but anyway, that's my take on it.
Anybody else got something? Thank you.
Anybody else want to wade in? Julie? What?
Marilyn had her hand up before me.
Okay, Marilyn, go ahead. I'm sorry. You're over here in the corner, and it's hard to see you over there, girl. You're like a postage stamp.
Okay, and I'm bringing this up and not agree with everything that's been said, not trying to be contentious in any way, but I remember a few years ago, Brother David came on to do communion with the outreach, and there was a young lady that asked a question about submission to her husband. And Brother David, I'll never forget it, and said that basically, you know, the wives are to be in submission to their husbands as long as the husband is not asking them to do anything illegal or immoral. And, you know, essentially, I think, and in this situation, I know the young lady that asked the question, and she felt like she was a little further along in the Lord than her husband. And, but you know, the Lord's done a real good work in that family. And what he's done is he's raised the husband up to be a strong covering and head for that family. And the young lady learn to be in submission to her husband. So I just throw that out there, kind of a situation of being, you know, the husband's not where she is, it sounds like, because obviously the family's fasting for him and his family to come into the kingdom. And so anyway, just putting that out there, but I certainly agree with everything that everyone else has said as well. But if push comes to shove, I put that out there because I did hear Brother David address that, and I remember it quite well.
Err on the side of love. Go ahead, Jenny.
I would just add something I learned that, the church I went to before I came here, they were very big it's very worldly, thing is to set up a last will and testament, because when you do that, you're planning for a disaster. You're planning for the worst case scenario. You're planning for to be, you know, where's all your money going to go? Where's all the things put up for yourselves and your family? That where's it going to go? It needs to be put in writing so that there's no, there's no argument. It's there. So I would just add that is a very worldly way of doing things. It's not per se. It's not in the it's not in our covenant in the New Testament about doing those kinds of things. And we're supposed to surrender everything to the Lord, and we're only stewards of what he's given us, and that includes, you know, our family members, you know, children. And a sister spoke that to me not long ago, as she was trying to explain something to to somebody at work how she was a steward over her children. God gave them these children, and their stewardship over their children and raising them to be, you know, proper young men and women, and to raise them up in the Lord and such, that it's all about stewardship and how we follow Jesus and how we live according to the word. And so I just think the whole last, you know, leaving a last will and testament and making sure all of your finances are in order, and that, you know, anything that you have, that it's, you know, written down how you want that to be distributed or whatever. And as far as your children go, you know, I agree with everything that everyone has said. It's like, you know, you don't plan for that to happen. You just trust them to God and he's going to work it out. But in agreeing with Marilyn said, yeah, I believe that this woman should obey her husband in this, and that God would give her the grace to do that. That's all I would say and add to that.
Amen. All right. I hope that helps, Will. Go ahead, Dave.
Appreciate the input, and yeah, you know what? You know what? The past, just a week or so ago, I asked the Lord, Lord, am I going to be martyred during this tribulation? And not long, just 3 days afterward, we had Saturday night with Dave and Michael. I didn't ask anything about it. Michael just said about, started talking about the bride's benefits during the tribulation. And then I asked Michael, do you think we're going to make it through? And then he said, yeah, it looks very good for the bride. And that's in line with the promises I received throughout the last 10 years. So I was, and I know the families of the righteous are blessed, and that we've got sort of a Noah's ark covering for our family. But when she brought it up, I was like, what? Maya? You know what? It looks good for us. I don't think you need to do that, Will. So I guess she shouldn't. She should be submissive and not worry too much about it. Maybe she's pushing for that, Will. You know, if she was the one that wanted the will and testament, I think she must just leave everything now. But it will be a good insight for her. She's also on the topic of wives submitting to husband to that. Big topic about a wife submitting to her husband. So this will be very enlightening. Thank you, everyone, for all your input. I appreciate it.
Okay, I think David's got something to add too. Go ahead, brother.
William, what's your brother-in-law's name?
Name is Conrad. C-O-N.
Conrad.
Yeah, Conrad.
What's the baby's name?
Hugo John.
Hugo John, huh? That's a new one. All right. We're going to pray for those two, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we claim both Conrad and Hugo John in your kingdom. We claim Conrad's going to become the head of the household. He's going to be on fire for you, Lord. We claim this household salvation comes through his, and he sees his wife, the beautiful picture of Christ in her, and it draws him in to the kingdom, Father, that he's going to draw him closer so he can be that beautiful head that we see in the Christian household that you represent. So he'll be you, the head of him ahead of her, and God, the head of all, and head of Jesus. So, Father, we claim this. In the name of Jesus, we know this is what you're going to do, and this is what you want. We also claim that Hugo John is going to grow up, be a nice young man in the Christian faith, and he's going to know everything about you because he's going to have good Christian parents to lead him through his life. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. All right, anybody else? All right, has anybody got any, I don't think we even had testimonies, praise reports? You have something, Malcolm? Okay. Yeah, Connie did.
I'm sorry. I was.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I unmuted myself and I muted myself.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to bring up something. I know we're all in different situations, different rules and whatnot in the areas we live in. Right here, we're on a reservation, and there really aren't any restrictions on tribal members, but there's pretty heavy restrictions on non-tribal members on the reservation. They have different rules from the state of Washington. So anyway, I just want to bring before the Lord the, you know, the situation here with on the reservation. And right now, outsiders are not allowed to come on the reservation. And they give some pretty hefty fines if they find that you're not you don't actually live here. So anyway, summertime is when people visit, you know, and all that kind of thing. So it's a little bit risky if you try, you know what I mean? So anyway, Lord, I thank you for the place we're at right now. And we want to submit to whatever you're working through the tribe here. But I just pray, Lord, that you will grant as much liberty as you want in this situation for non-tribal members. And I also pray, of course, that as we've all been praying for some time, that you'll have great revivals here and on other reservations as well. People will see great healings, and I just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I've just discovered our dog loves our cat hair. I've been shaving our cat, and our dog just loves that hair. So I hope it's good for his stomach.
Okay.
Michael, I think just...
What's that?
Still muted.
Do what? Go ahead, Connor.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. People are...
I'm up.
Okay. Michelle? All right, Connie, go ahead.
My dad died. The people told me right away that I take after my dad for everything, and I'm going to die with bone cancer. And immediately, Jesus answered that and said, "No, you're not." He said, "I anointed you, and you got many things for me to do." And he said, "The curse is off of you," and that's all it was. And I just wanted to tell everybody the bruises I had on my bones are gone. And that's the first time that I didn't have to pray, that Jesus just answered right away when Satan had attacked me. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm not
buying
you. Stop.
Okay. What did I miss? I had to get everybody off the internet. Y'all were freezing up on me. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we raised a couple dead.
Okay, David. All right.
Connie gave a nice testimony.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. This is better. Everybody, I can hear everybody now. It was just breaking up a while ago. I couldn't hardly hear anything. But it's not anymore. In the name of Jesus, I command this bandwidth to be okay for the rest of the Zoom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Let's pray. What y'all want to do? Let's pray. Okay. Can y'all hear me? Well, in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit off of this computer, off of my modem. In the name of Jesus, I command this thing to operate from now till I get through. In the name of Jesus and everybody else's too. And I praise you, Father, that there's no more interference with my bandwidth where I'll stay on and I can hear everybody. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah, Missy. Oh, my. Go ahead, Missy.
I've been going through a trial here.
What?
Like, the enemy was trying to tell me that I had a, because I felt the Lord I had, but you know, after I had repented of unforgiveness, then we were still there, condemned, tell me that I had unforgiveness and just condemning me and through this whole thing, you know, like a run has been there. I had said something that somebody really wasn't true. They did out. That they trying to tell me that I had unforgiveness. But anyway, so I just kept battling with this condemnation, you know, after I repented. And so I really came against that condemnation, you know, finally hit it hard. And then the Lord started talking to me, Missy, think about what your thoughts were about this person. Where your heart was with this person, concerning this person in this situation. Okay, you should have given this person the benefit of the doubt, but that didn't mean that you had unforgiveness, because think about where your heart was, where your mind was, what your thoughts were, you know? And I was like, oh, wow, you know? So then, I asked the Lord, I cast lots, you know, I said, Lord, am I correct in all this that, you know, you're showing me? And he gave me a yes, you know, and it's just like, oh, wow. And as soon as I started realizing, you know, Lord, show me what was going on here, that I started feeling this heaviness lift off me and this condemnation start to lift off me. And then when I cast lots and asked the Lord then that, you know, am I right in, you know, with all this, you know, and he gave me a yes, you know, no, you didn't have unforgiveness. So I was just like, oh, wow. You know, and I realized this whole thing just, this whole situation just constantly being on my mind is just what it was, is it was just the enemy attacking me and the enemy attacking me and the enemy attacking me in my mind. And it was hard to get my mind off the situation because the enemy was always coming at me with it, you know? And it was like, I was in such a battle. And so just praise the Lord, you know, that the enemy's defeated, and you know, it's amazing, you know, learning to overcome condemnation and recognizing, it's like the Lord's shown me so much here lately about condemnation, how the enemy comes at you from all these different directions, and you think you've recognized it and everything, and then here comes the enemy in another direction, which I'm thankful, because, you know, when you learn all the tactics of the enemy and you recognize them and you cast them down, you know, and you realize all these different ways that the enemy comes against you with condemnation and stuff like that, you know, it helps you recognize it and things, and help other people to recognize it then. So anyway, just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's awesome.
Amen.
Thank you, Melissa. That helped me.
Did it?
Yeah.
Glad it did. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Andrew.
It's confirmed something for me as well, because I've been dealing with just a few things that it's like I'm on Groundhog Day, and I know I've been delivered of these things, and I know I don't act like this, so why am I acting like this? And it's been weeks now, and this morning I just woke up and I said to God, thank you for everything you've done for me, and I know I've laid this all at the cross, so I don't understand where this is coming from. And I just bound the spirits. I bound them in Jesus' name. I said, you disobedience, disrespect, irritation, frustration, you have no place in this house. I bind you all the way up the island, all the way down the island. And I texted my one believing friend I know on the island, and I said, you'll have a good day today with your kids, because I've just bound all those spirits in Jesus' name. And she sent back, praise God, thank you. I can feel it on my house already. So my day has been amazing so far. And I just know that it's because you have to take authority. You have to say what Jesus said. And Missy, you've blown it out of the water. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. You know, you just don't know when you share stuff like that, you know, how much of it's going to have an effect on somebody else and help somebody else. So, you know, anybody out there that's hesitant to ever share something, you know, don't be afraid, you know, because it's, you have to share, because it helps other people, you know. And you may think it's something little, but, you know, you just don't know. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Pat.
Thank you, Missy. That was good. The Lord showed me when he was doing that in me as well, that he was smoking out the enemy, that all of these little temptations and these things that come in that the devil will pull on you every once in a while and send you down a sidetrack, that the Lord allows him to come in there and do that because there's something in me that allows that to happen. So it's like a foothold, or it's a position of influence, no matter how large or how small or whatever, but it's a little chunk of whatever he needs in your thinking process to plant his foot in there so he can manipulate a few thoughts here or there or whatever. And the Lord is gracious in that he like Job, like in Job's life, he sicked the devil over there and said, here, come over here for a second, you know, and you'll go through I've gone through those processes, like you're saying, and then you realize, oh, well, that's what he's hanging on. That's what he's got. It's this particular thought or whatever that was there in your mind or in your heart. And then you're able to cast it down like Claire did, you know. And I found that it's exactly the same thing as the very first thing that I've learned to do in that process is Lord for it. Because it sets my frame of reference in its proper perspective. this is all coming from the Lord. He's got a purpose in it. So we just roll with it and see what where it leads. And it ultimately leads in the devil getting a boot in some form or another. So that's very that's good. Appreciate it.
Amen. Before I forget it, Thursday night, Tracy Jackson asked if we couldn't discuss why preterism is not correct. The preterist. And we'll discuss what it is and why it's not correct thinking, biblically speaking. Okay, Will, what you got, brother? Go ahead, Will.
This morning, when I was between sleeping and waking up, the funniest thing happened to me. It was like the Lord was giving me a compliment saying, your eyes are on nothing on this world. Your eyes are on nothing on this world. Your eyes are only on me. And I was like, yo, that's strange, Lord. Are you giving me a compliment? It just felt like the Lord was giving me a compliment, and it was strange. I didn't know if it was possible. I don't think the Lord will compliment my flesh, but does he give compliments like that? You know, I've never had an experience like that where the Lord would compliment me. I don't know what to make of it. So I asked for scripture today, and I've got a few scriptures, but the one was is it Song of Songs? 4:7. I'm not sure. And then another scripture I got was, ye are complete in him, which is Colossians 2:10. So if he did compliment me, then I'm rather pleased with that.
Amen. Go ahead and mute, Mike.
Yeah, I said God loves to give us compliments. Claire says God speaks in faith about us. He loves us so much. Amen. He sure does. He calls those things that are not well as though they were. I'm just saying. Take it as a loving compliment from the Lord, because that's exactly what it is.
And I'm wondering if I should be more at ease during this fast. Yeah, but during this fast, you know, if this morning was more of a warning, hey, William, you better get your eyes off this and this and this. I guess I can sort of praise the Lord and say, shoot, well, maybe this time I'm doing quite good. I can be happy. I won't say relax, but I can be pleased. I'm not in trouble.
There you go. There you go. We always, most of the time we know, don't we, when we're in trouble. Amen. All right, Malcolm.
Yes, I knew I was in trouble today. I really lost my temper with somebody, yelling and everything, if you can believe it. But, you know how it is when you have constant condemnation around you, and I've been listening a little bit to David's teaching about how shall we die. and I want to be cooperative with that whole process, and because I need other people to help me die. So anyway, we made things right, anyway, I just really want to cooperate with God in the death process. And I know condemnation is necessary, even though we have to reject, you know, when Satan puts condemnation in our heart. But when other people condemn us, we need to just take it and not try to defend ourselves or correct the situation. Because we don't want our old man to live. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I thank God for his mercy for me. And what's so ironic is I've been praying for this person that for their salvation and for their coming to the Lord. But, you know, right now they need to play a role in causing me some suffering. So, anyway, back to you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone? Yeah, go ahead. Is that Paula? Yeah, Paula.
I just want to add to what William said. I had a similar experience a couple of days ago. I was also between that state of being awake and being asleep. And I heard a voice so clearly, and I heard this this scripture. And I looked it up. It's in Song of Songs as well. It's there three times, but it says, "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please." And I don't know what that means, but I heard it so clearly. And now William said he was between those two states and he got Song of Songs. So I'm not sure if someone can shed some light on that. But I've actually never understood that verse. What does he mean that we shouldn't awake his love until he please?
What's the reference again? I was having trouble on me.
Sorry, that it's Song of Songs, 8 verse 4.
8 and 12?
8 verse 4.
Oh, 4, okay.
Yes.
Okay. You know what, I'm looking that up. I remember many, many, many years. I couldn't have been more than 6 months in the Lord. And one morning I was getting up and I was putting my blue jeans on. I was just praising God, you know. And I said, "Lord, I love you." And an audible voice from right back here said, "Well, Michael, I love you too." And I just sat down on the bed. I said, "My gracious sakes alive, that was God Almighty telling little old me that, you know." And I'm telling you, that really set me on fire with God. Yeah, he can do that. I'm trying to look it up and talk to you, and it ain't working. Well, we can put this on for a little bit later. I'm having a little trouble here, but that's okay. Y'all want to pray with me just a minute? I command all oppressive and depressive spirits out of this house right now in the name of Jesus. All factious spirits go, every divisive spirit go in the name of Jesus. Every unforgiveness go in the name of Jesus. Everything that's tormenting everybody go right now in the name of Jesus. Critical spirits go, judgmental spirits go in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your joy and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Confusion, go. You got to go in Jesus' name. You know, that's what that old enemy likes to do sometimes. He likes to get you in a different place and try to get you all messed up and nothing works right and everything. You know, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody want to tackle that one? Second Song of Solomon 8:4. Well, we can talk about it Thursday night.
I'd like to know about that too.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it a little longer. Yeah, we can look at that. Paul, you can look at that again. Is that Paul?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, Thursday night, I got it written down.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I don't have all my resources here with me, so you'll have to excuse me. Yeah. Danny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Debbie had something when we were praying. It's off the subject of this verse, but it was on what you've been praying for your family, Michael. So yeah. Maybe she can share it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had two that after also relating to what things were. Oops. What Missy was sharing, but I was having some struggles too of the enemy attacking me again with condemnation and rejecting, and he's trying to tell me that I was feeling that way, that I was believing I had, and I know I didn't, I know I don't. But the enemy, he tries to confuse you and make you think that you're thinking this of yourself, but he's actually making me think that, right? And so I'm like, no, I don't believe. I kept resisting it and casting it down. I had a hard time for a few days, and today I had a real breakthrough, and after I had this breakthrough, I went to the other room. I was just, I just needed such a filling from God, and I just went by myself, and I was in there just praying in tongues for this filling to fill me and fill me, and it was just so wonderful. It was just, I just felt so lifted and so close in His presence and so freed from all that junk just went, it just left. And so anyway, Denny and I were out in the porch on the deck here and praying for you and your family, Michael, and praying for our daughter. First, we prayed for you, and we're just praying, and there was such faith that God, it was just so strong in our praying. And as He was praying for you and your family, I had this very vivid vision of this, boom, such a vision of a soil. It was like a circle of soil, as if you're maybe going to plant a bush or something. It was like a circle of soil, big circle of soil. And all of a sudden, the dirt just started churning and churning and churning and opening up this soil and this hole, and it was like a whirlpool of this soil just being dug up and dug up and dug up. And at first I thought maybe I saw it, maybe it's gonna fill up with water. And I was asking the Lord, is this water? And He said, no, but I'm digging up the soil. I'm turning over the soil, and I just know it was for your family, for their hearts. And He's plowing a fallow ground, but it wasn't really plowing. It was like a real strong, just it's going through that soil and it's all churning and turning, and so God was just loosening that soil, and I just think it was an answer to our prayers for what He's doing in the hearts of your family. So yeah.
Amen. Then, yeah. The Lord is plowing the dirt.
Yeah, He's just digging it up. He's just really going to town at it. It was just, you know, we know He's going to do that. Thank you, Lord, that He is doing
oh,
it.
Glory to God.
And then we prayed for our daughter, Victory, because of some issues with our son, our grandson, Jonah. He's got special needs, and it takes a special person to deal with someone like Jonah, and that's Victory. But she has had some hard places to go through and deal with and overcome as far as just other things, issues. And we see beyond those and see what God is doing in her life. And we're really praying for her, for God to set her free and put on the right path. And she called to Him, these other, you know, trials she's had with Jonah. And I got another vision of, as we were praying, I just saw a lawn and green grass.
and roots just growing down under that surface of that ground, you know, roots just going down. And I said, oh gosh, Danny, you know, this is awesome. Another vision that God has really shown us what he's going to do, what he's doing in Victory's life. He's got those roots are there because she's been taught, she's been raised, and she knows what's in the word. And he said, touches with him, where he's even used her briefly in words of knowledge and praying for people. And so that was just such another vivid vision, but it was just such a wonderful day because I got freed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Debbie, would you send that to me when you get a chance? Thank you.
I will.
Yeah. I almost jumped up and started praying in tongues in front of everybody in here. Thanks God for the Lord. Amen. I'm going to run these demons out of here, too. I'm telling you the truth. That's something I didn't do when I got home, but I'm going to.
They're going out of here.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to stir up some ground. God's going to stir up some ground.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's good, Debbie. That's good news. I'll tell you what. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Judith. Amen.
I'd like to pray about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not only that, I'd like to pray that for our families, too. Lord, okay. I thank you, Father. You are, we've been praying, Lord, right along that you would break up the fallow ground of the hearts of our family and our relatives, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you're doing that. That's proof that you're doing it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. And we just pray that you send laborers to cross the path of all of our families and bring them to where they have seeds that are growing, just like they're growing in victory. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have Michael down here with his family to water and plant, that you would have the increase in his family. And I thank you, Father, for that, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, what's interesting, Debbie, is that before I left today, I knew there was a lot of work that I needed to do around the house here in Arkansas. And I asked the Lord, you know, I've been letting the Lord direct everything that I do. And so I asked him, I said, do you want me to put my tools in the truck and take them home with me? He said, no, I want you to minister to your family. So here I am. Praise God. Generally, when I come here, I work till from can to can't, trying to get everything back up in order. But this time I'm just going to minister and pray. And I suggest that we all do that during this time that we have, you know. Praise God. Yeah, Andrew.
Say something.
Debbie?
Yes, yes.
Debbie?
Yes, Connie?
When you was talking, Michael's family was being touched, but, you know, the dirt stirred up, and the Lord just told me that all our family, that Jesus is stirring up the dirt, all of our families are being touched, and I just got it crit through my old body.
He is.
And I want to thank you.
We're believing. Amen. Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. We praise you, Father. Ooh, my.
Oh,
I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah, I was just going to give the verse that, you know, we have a sword of the Spirit, but it's also our prayer. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. So, you know, that's a common prayer verse. It's really good. You should look it up, and you can see that, you know, this is a real special fellowship here that they have. And, you know, it's a special fellowship for us, too, because, you know, we're partaking of these verses. You know, even though the apostles went through these afflictions a long time ago, they're still for our comfort too, aren't they? And their comfort that they went through is for our comfort also. These apostles, a long time ago, went, that's a special fellowship for us because we are trying to get this word in our hearts to have faith on. So why isn't this our fellowship also? Like, we have fellowship and we help each other here, but this stuff applies. This is our spiritual father, Paul. You know, and I think it was just really cool, this verse here. And, you know, it's an easy one. It's 1:1:1, you know, in 2 Corinthians. So it's just to verify what the other lady, I forget her name, just said right now, Larry, and, you know.
All right. Anyone else? I'm what's happening here is y'all are in and out on me, but I can almost hear everything. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Julie. I see.
That just kind of confirms to me last week I was what you all were saying about our families and what God's doing. Because I was still praying. I guess I wasn't at rest about some things going on within my family and stuff. And the Lord had me read chapter 6 of Sovereign God. And it's about his sovereignty over the fall and salvation. And it just talked about, you know, children and being brought up and, you know, in the church and that kind of thing, and their own self-righteousness and religious and all that kind of stuff. And you know, just believe in your prayers for your family in whatever capacity you believe in, whether it be parents, sisters, brothers, cousins, children, whatever, is his sovereignty over this. So I just kind of just confirm what God was putting on my heart, and that we're all on the same page here. We're all praying for our families, and God's going to do something really big, really big. So thanks for sharing all that. This is more of a confirmation. Thanks.
That's a good point, Julie. This morning I got Psalm 46, and it's such a comfort to me. It was such a comfort to me. What I've been doing for the last couple of years is just going through Psalms every day, reading a chapter of a book a day, just, you know, a chapter a day. And you go through it twice is what you do, generally speaking. Today happened to be Psalm 46, which was very applicable to my situation and some of y'all's too, I might add. Which is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth do change. It don't make any difference what's going on around us. And though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her. And that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes a wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. And he burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God forevermore. Man, I tell you what, I was reading that this morning, and I was jumping up and down in the spirit now. I wasn't doing that because I didn't want to wake David up. But anyway, that was an awesome one for me. And guess what happened when I finally decided, okay, yeah, God, you got it. You got everything in place. Look what happened. Get all these revelations. My daughter, she's healed and delivered and set free. You know, here we go. Things are starting to pop, glory to God, because God is God. Amen. Go ahead, Will. Can y'all hear me? Go ahead, Will.
My mom to say something.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Louie.
Evening, Michael. After my baptism, I don't know what to call it. It was as if the Lord had just opened up my vision, I think. And I kind of understood that he made everything and everybody. Where in the universe I fit in, I think, and how powerful and mighty he is, and that there's really nothing he can't change in an instant. But somehow he's still got some things to do, I think.
I do.
Anyway, sorry.
Amen. I'm catching just bits and pieces. My internet here has been messing up, but that's okay. Somebody else heard it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what Louise just shared made me think of a song, but I was going to suggest, since you read Psalm 46, and I know you love this song, but I do too. I love Shane and Shane's rendition.
No.
That. And I feel like it came to me, Louise. Was, I don't know, but it goes, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee." It came to my mind right away when you were saying that. And the Lord put that in my heart when we were praying for my dad. Something happened and I had Joey Mary. Marilyn and Barbara all praying myself into faith, and I was jumping up and down and singing and singing the song. To play that, Michael, if you wanted to, just to suggest Shane's.
Yeah, I apologize. I can only hear bits and pieces of everybody.
The bandwidth thing would be an issue.
Yeah, okay. Never mind then.
But I was thinking that same song too, and Michael was reading that song. I was thinking of that song too. I love that song.
Maybe you've got the bandwidth to do it.
The only problem is that whenever I try and play a video, for some reason, y'all can't hear it. You can see it, but you can't hear it, and I don't know why. And I don't know what settings. I could try it quick. I don't know if maybe I've changed something that has worked since then, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think Debbie was going to sing it with you. Go ahead, Debbie. Did y'all have your hand up? I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Actually, we had another song to share together that goes with your song, but I didn't want to take away from Missy putting up her song. So, but I was singing her song with her when she was singing it.
Well, go ahead and sing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Psalm 46,
1 and 2.
Yeah. Okay. God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble.
God is our refuge and God is our strength,
a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Thank you, Lord. That was good. See, then we got the start of a new duet here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who is 903-619-1804?
This is Megan.
Oh, is that you, Megan? I thought that 903. Yeah. I said, I bet that's Megan, but I didn't have it down. Thank you. Bless you. Okay. I knew it was Texas, but I didn't know if it was Megan or not. All right. Anybody else got a song or song? I'd sing, but my bandwidth is bad. My voice to go along with it. Hello. Can anybody hear me? It says my internet connection is unstable. Thank you, Lord, for fixing my internet that's unstable. Make it stable. Your stable internet connection in the name of Jesus. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I've got a question.
Okay.
It's chapter 8.
I heard chapter 8.
Romans 26. And in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedeth mightily for us with groanings unutterable. So, how do you pray without uttering anything?
What do you mean? Here's what the ASV says, and in like manner the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
So what does that mean, that cannot be uttered? Like, can you think about something and be so overwhelmed about it, but you don't even know how to pray for it, but you got this feeling inside of you that sort of rises up? Is that what it means? Proceeding with this without utterance?
Go ahead, Julie. She got the answer.
In what you said, Andrew, is like, yeah, you might be going through something really, really difficult, and you're fighting against sin or something, and you don't know how to pray, so you just pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit is praying through you. In my Bible, it says that the Spirit likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. That's kind of how it's read in my book, my Bible. It's like it's past your understanding how to, your vocabulary, you don't have words to express what you're going through, so you're praying in the Holy Spirit to pray to God to, you know, whatever it is, you know, to alleviate the burden, the pressure, the, you know, the heaviness, the sin you're battling with, because or whatever whatever the situation is, it's an awesome gift. And if you've ever been there where you just don't know how to pray and you're grieving inside for something, or you're fighting against sin, or you're really torn inside over something.
Okay, thanks a lot, because, you know, I often wondered about why those things would go through me like this. I just never knew what they were. So, thanks.
Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I want to read this out of the Good News Bible, those couple verses. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know how to pray, how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will.
Basically what Julie said. In other words, when you pray in the Spirit, and you've been praying and you feel the Spirit, you know, you get that sense that God's there, you know God's there. And you've been praying for some things, and I know I can just tell you what my experience has been, is that I'll just ask God to pray through me for something that I don't know about. And when I do that, I know that my prayers are perfect before God, because the Holy Spirit is doing exactly what I should have been doing but didn't know how to do it. Right, that's my take on it. Can y'all hear me? That is frozen. Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Hello.
We hear you, Michael.
Okay.
Paula's got her hand up.
Paula wants to say something.
Okay,
go ahead. Paula, everybody come on.
Y'all go ahead.
Sorry, no, I just wanted to get some clarity on that because I've also always wondered about that verse. And if you look at the Hebrew, that which cannot be uttered, the Greek word, it does say, you know, you can't express it in words. So there's something else. It's a different type of communication. And I've always also wondered about that. How does that work? How does that manifest? Because it's not words from what I understand, or even a language, prayed by the Holy Spirit, as far as I understand this verse. So I've always seen it as another form of communication, but I also don't know how it works.
Well, I remember a story that, a famous evangelist many years ago. I'm trying to think of the name, the one that had the 100,000 people saved up in New York, in Rockport, New York. Somebody help me out here. Anyway, he had an intercessor called Father Nash. And Father Nash would go before this evangelist, I'll think of his name in a minute. Was it Moody?
Is it Charles Finney?
Yeah, right. Finney. Yeah, that's right. It was Finney. And he would get him an apartment or a hotel room, and he would go in and intercede for the town or whatever what the venue was. A week or so before, Finney would show up, maybe 3 or 4 days before. And he'd start interceding. And then when Finney got there, the hotel management came up and told him, he said, Mr. Finney, he said, there's a guy in there that he's part of your ministry. He said, man, he's just groaning and I terribly think there's something terribly wrong with him. And he said, no, that's Father Nash, that's Brother Nash. He's in there interceding for you and everybody in this town. And he said, he's groaning in the spirit for this town, for this city. And so that's closest I've never experienced that part of it myself. Now, some of these intercessors like Julie and Marilyn may have, I don't know, somebody else. That's the closest I've heard the groanings and things like that. And he just being there groaning, man, just not saying anything, just groan, you know. What, Andrew? That's what he was doing.
Crazy, man, because I thought I was going nuts.
Well, I don't know. When he got in the spirit, he was in the spirit. He was a great intercessor. You know what? He did it all on his own. Finney never asked him to do it. He'd just go out there and do it. He'd find out where Finney was going, and he'd go. That was his ministry, was interceding. Many people were saved because of it. And they said over 100,000. They said 80% of them. They went back years later, and 80% of them were still saved. 80% of 100,000 people. That's a mighty fine party in there. That's what that groaning was about. It's groaning for the souls of those people. And that's the closest I can come, Paula, to describing what that verse looks like.
It helps a lot. Thank you, Michael, because I've just experienced many times, you know, that almost a feeling of being in travail, and that links with the groaning, that that there won't be any words, but it's just a deep pain maybe, or I don't know. And you just know that there is some type of communication happening, you know, between you and the Lord, but you can't, it's not with a with a language. So it does make sense what you said. Thank you.
That's why he communicated, I guess. I don't know. Anybody else? Pat, did you have your hand up? Or did we already get you? I don't know.
No, I did. I did have that experience, and it's exactly what you're saying. It's something that I guess everybody said, like Paula said, travail, and that in the scripture that says groaning, and it's just an overwhelming internal groaning that just has to pour out of you, and you just it just you I remember having it. Unfortunately, I'd like to say that I was in prayer for other people, but I was in prayer for myself because I was in some I was recognizing I was recognizing something within me that I was not right at the time. I was recognizing the flesh or whatever it was, and I was crying out to God. And I started to pray in regular English. And I became so overwhelmed, and this groaning, it just turned into a groaning flood coming out of me. And it was a bit startling coming out of from my Baptist tradition or whatever it was, because it was. Icons or whatever, but I can relate to that because it was just a very powerful inner groaning. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Well, see, that's what happens when you're watching listening to a video on Andy Murray. Andy what's his name? Andrew Murray. Yeah. And I was listening to that, and he was teaching chapter 7 of one of his books there, and it's about praying in the spirit and how you get close to the Lord and be still, you know. And suddenly I wrote some of my own notes that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, so this can be a lot easier than we think, you know. And so it was later that day that I was doing this, and kind of like, well, this happened to me before, and I was going, well, what is this? But after this, I said, well, maybe if the Lord would allow me to also pray in tongues after it. So just go with the flow and ask the Lord if you can do that afterwards. I think that's beneficial too. You know? And then in English, of course.
I've experienced that as well, and it's kind of like, you know, that travailing. It kind of reminds me of, and then the groaning. It, what it's from, but you got to get through it. You got to go through it to get it all out. And sometimes it brings tears, and you just feel like it makes me think of giving birth to a child. Even though your brothers don't understand that, but it is kind of, you know, and there's such a release. It's like you've got to get that release. You keep doing it until you get that release, and then there's such a calm afterwards. But yeah, it's, you don't know why you're doing it either. You don't know why. I remember doing that one time, partially praying in tongues and groaning in the church. All of a sudden, I'm in the charismatic church. All of a sudden, this was when I was first starting to go to this charismatic church after I had started living for the Lord. And I remember all of a sudden I was on the floor and I was bowing down on the floor. My hand, you know, I was like almost flat, you know, but I was just praying in tongues and crying, you know, travailing and I don't even know what it was. And then I finally got through with that and got up and sat in my chair. I don't know what people thought about it, but it just came on me, you know. And sometimes you don't know how to prepare for it, but it brings results. Sometimes you don't know what the results are, but you know the results that brings to you inside. It you worked it out. It brings something, even though you may not understand it. I still don't understand that one. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I've never experienced the travailing part. I have experienced being awakened at night by the Lord and knowing I had to pray. Didn't know who I was praying for, but I had to pray, and I pray in the Spirit until I got a release. And then I've done that. Sometimes it doesn't take long. Sometimes it takes a little while. Yeah, Denny.
And then when you read through these verses, it seems to be a reference to childbirth, you know, the groanings and the longings of childbirth, because it's waiting there for the sons of God to be birthed. And then it says likewise, and it goes on, talk about our groanings, but it seems like
Okay. Everybody's frozen.
Would you feel such a burden for?
No, they're not.
Prayer, Lord. In prayer, Lord. Pray through us, Lord. Pray deep in us, oh God. Burden us, God, for our family. Thank you,
Jesus. Father, we pray for Will and his family, and as they've. Share this, and we just.
I keep getting knocked off here. Okay, Dave. If I get knocked off, you've been made the co-host, in case I did. All right. Yes, Paula. Go ahead.
Now, just what Dennis said now, I also thought about that verse. It's also in Romans 8, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Listening. Pain to common calamity. That's always just, you know, just really hits home because, and it links with the whole thing that there's not a language to it, you know, the whole creation. God's creation, it's not verbal, it's not words, but they are groaning, you know, animals, plants, everything, you know, it's in pain and it's in bondage. And all of that is looking forward, groaning, and And I think there's a link.
Michael?
Looks like you're on, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's getting bad. Hello. Can anybody hear me? Maybe we better just go ahead and sign out, Dave.
We can hear you, Michael.
Okay.
But I know we started late too. It's just kind of.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind that. I just can't hear anything. Y'all just go ahead. I heard Connie say something, but I didn't. All I heard was, "Hey, Michael." That was about all I heard.
Just talk about you.
What? When of God the other, and when you're speaking in tongues that the devil don't know anything what that is, when you're praying, you know, it's between them two. But anything we're saying right now, Satan can attack us, because anything that comes out of our mouth, he can attack us with it. But when you're speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, that is the Holy Spirit and God that's. That's what I so what is the reason of the speaking in tongues then? Because I always thought when I spoke in tongues, Satan wasn't hearing anything whatever. I start speaking in tongues and then I get a relief, because I feel like God and the Holy Spirit is praying for me, and Satan can't attack, and the prayers can come through. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've always, since I got saved, that's what I've always felt in my heart. That's what it is. I never heard it from anybody. I just felt it that way.
My understanding, this is Malcolm here, my understanding is that tongues is so that we don't understand.
Right.
And that, say, the thing is, when you're kicking demons out of people, when you're praying in tongues or commanding in tongues, whatever, they get very upset. So the demons will say that they're powerful when you pray in tongues to kick demons out. Because we don't know exactly. Anyway, that's just what I understand. Maybe Michael will come back here.
I'm just catching bits and pieces of everybody. I don't know what's going on. So maybe I'll have to hit me if somebody is.
Okay.
maybe I think it's a subject. Maybe it's a subject we can take up on Thursday.
That would be a good idea. We could talk more about that too on Thursday.
What's
we can look into that. Speaking in tongues, when we're praying in tongues, we're wondering about how much Satan has privy to that conversation. Mm-hmm. If he's locked out of that, or are the demons fully aware of everything we're saying?
Well, they're spirits, aren't they? They're spirits, just like they all came from the same place. Absolutely, they can understand it. And that's why it fears them.
They sure.
That's why they're fear. That's why they're scared of our tongues, because it comes directly from the Holy Spirit. But yeah, they can understand.
Well, that's the other thing I guess you could think about. That language we're speaking is not us speaking, it's the Lord speaking.
Yes. Right, right.
And so if the Lord's talking, I imagine it would have the demons fearful.
Yeah.
But they, the demons can't really attack us with the praying in tongues, right? And with the Holy Spirit and God talking. The demons can't attack us because of the prayer that's, because we're praying in tongues. Is that right?
Well, as long as you've got your armor on, no, they can't attack because you're rebuking them if that's what you're doing. It depends on what you're talking about and what kind of situation it is. If you're waging war against them, no, the devil can't penetrate.
Okay.
Through that. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
When you're praying in tongues, I think everybody's trying to talk at once, or I'm just listening, right? Everybody froze up, so I'm going to just sit back and let y'all talk this out, I guess.
Okay.
Sorry. Is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, where Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So there's tongues of men, and then there's tongues of angels. Angels have a tongue as well, apparently. I remember David doing a teaching on that somewhere on the site, that the spirits, they hear us, the demons hear us praying in tongues. But he's all.
Where it says, but you, beloved, keep building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So if we take advantage of praying in the Spirit, that's also giving us that to make us very a very formidable enemy that they can't defeat. So that's the other advantage of praying in tongues, that's going to give you that edge that they don't want you to have.
See you, Pat. God bless you, brother. Okay, yes.
Given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing in no wise shall hurt you. So there's that verse there too. And rejoice not in this, that you have a power over the spirits.
That's the key right there.
Your name's specific. Yeah. And there's the casting down verse and all imaginations that are against the knowledge of God too. So you got to do that too. You know, we got to use our sword. And we, but this sword is a real good tongue. It's a sharp tongue that can go through anything, you know. And
I just like that word, written on your heart, on your mind too. So you use your sword, and it's the Lord is faithful too. So you got His, have God's faith. You got His shield there too, you know. So
His name, we honor His name, and His name, every knee's going to bow. So we certainly have a awesome weapon, don't we?
Well, especially since we've all. All kind of seen a little bit Andrew shared, so we know we have that other weapon. We sometimes we get to pull it out, start praying in tongues until we see a victory too. That's another option we have.
That's right.
Amen.
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 That's good.
Amen.
Ma'am, what came through very strongly for me for you was fear not, fear not.
William?
Yes.
I looked up your Conrad's name to see what it meant, and it means I wanted to tell you this before you got off. It means wise counselor, and the child Hugo means fusion, which means fusion is like connecting things together. So I'd like to pray about that. For your family, for that family. Lord, I just lift up Conrad, William's family. Conrad, I didn't catch the cur up, but I pray, Father God, that in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I got to work before they got married, and when the baby came, when Hugo was born, that was the fusion. Like you said, his name is Fusion. That was the guarantee that Conrad will be saved. He'll be saved through Hugo. Through household salvation, because I know there's a scripture that says if the unbelieving husband wants to depart, let him depart. But if there's children, there's a signed contract that the father is going to come in. So it all turned out beautifully, I must say. It's all going well. It's going in the direction that I guess the Lord told me not to intervene with marriage and to bless that marriage, and that it is blessed, and that he is his dear. It's the Lord that my family is really coming in strong. I just would appreciate it if they hop on David's stuff and get and just hop on David's teachings. It'll be a great it'll be to their advantage if they just, because you know you have to sift through so much stuff in the beginning. If the Lord can just bless them to just get on David's stuff extremely quickly. My other brother-in-law has read Sovereign God, and they all have respect for David, which I appreciate.
Amen. I like to look up names because I found that a lot of people, when I look up the names, they're already walking in it, and they don't even realize that it's part of their name. Like this one, his name means poet. And he, as a child, he wrote poems. He didn't know at that time that he was representing his name. He's also known as a servant, and he was serving. He's a waiter, and he was serving people. So it's kind of interesting when you come across that, when you look at people's names and you see they're walking it, and they don't even realize they're walking in what their name represents. So that's going to happen.
or thank your- you, young.
Thank you. No, yeah, I'm very confident that nothing will, their marriage will be very blessed, because I prayed for her before she got married. I prayed for the Lord to give her a godly husband, and before they got married, and it's just been working out so beautifully. They retrenched so many people in his job, and he was one of three guys that kept his position. I know I've been praying for him, but because he is such a hard worker and so forgiving, they would let him do so many things in his work that's not in his job description, but he will submit and he would do it. And that kept him his job when people got retrenched. He was one of the three people that they chose to keep on. And it says a great deal. So my dad was listening in and he said, I must give you my sister's name. Her name is Marie Louise, but she, as a young child, decided Maya on, I don't know if you guys had Maya the Bee there as a TV program. But that was ironic because my mom had a dream, call her Deborah. And Deborah, my mom didn't do that. And then ended up calling her Marie Louise, and she chose the name Maya, which is Bee Princess. It was just funny how that worked out at the end. We all laughed about that, and that sort of drew her closer to the Lord when we discovered that Maya is Queen Bee. And Maya is also Hebrew. Hebrew, it's got, when she says her name is Maya, people sort of get concerned that, yeah, I don't want to go on too much. I think our time is limited, but it's a great discussion for maybe down the line. But thank you very much.
Amen. You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Sounds like another one. All right. Don't forget, we'll talk about the preterist view and why it's not correct, why it's not right. Anybody doesn't know what the preterists are, right off the top of your head. Well, if you don't, the preterist view is that everything in time prophecy has already happened. That's the hyper preterist. Everything in prophecy has already happened in AD 70. And that's just it in a nutshell. And then there are partial preterists also. And we'll talk about it Thursday night. Lord, we just thank you for another good night. I want to come against the enemy that's tried to keep me off of this. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that come Thursday night, everything's going to be smooth. There's not going to be any problems with bandwidth or anything else as far as that goes. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here tonight, we'll be praying for one another and the themes that we talked about tonight for our family. And hopefully some of them shall be travailing for our family. I know I'll be praying a lot for them. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that everybody has a good night's sleep tonight also, but you'll also give us good dreams tonight about the things that are fixing to happen or encouragement for somebody. And Father, we just praise you for being our God. We love you. And we want nothing more than to serve and to be led by you, Lord. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with us, guide us, direct us. Set a watch before us, our tongue, Lord, our lips, that we speak nothing but what you want us to speak. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.